Today we get the pleasure of hearing from Larry Good. For those of you guys who have not heard from Larry or don't know who he is, you guys are in for a treat. We are blessed to have him. Larry is a missionary that we support as a church. We financially support him. He works down in Peru, and he's got an awesome ministry down there with orphans. He'll share about it, but just taking in the children that nobody else has wanted, nobody else will take. Larry will take him in and has an amazing ministry down there. God is using him to do awesome things. God broke his heart for the children down there on a trip that he went on, and God changed his life and got him planted down there. And it is a privilege that we get to support him as a church, and a privilege that we get to hear from him and hear what God's doing in. So let's welcome up Larry to share with us. And you can tell he's a guest speaker. He's the only one wearing like a sport jacket here for the most part.
Thanks. I want to tell you something first. Somebody asked me why I was wearing a sports jacket, and I said, well, two reasons. One, it's cold, and the other one, it covers up a multitude of sins. So.
Nice, I like it. Let's pray for Larry. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Larry, Lord God, that we thank you for the work that you're doing in him and through him, Lord, how you changed his life, Father, and how you changed his heart and what you're doing in and through that, Father. We thank you for him. Pray that you would bless this time that he gets to share now, that you would give us open hearts, Lord, that you would give us compassion for those that Larry is reaching out to, that we'd be able to see and understand the vision that you have given to him. And, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen him and support him, too. Lord, strengthen him even through all the challenges that I know he faces, Lord, naturally and spiritually. Father, I pray that you would encourage him through those, that you would bless and prosper his ministry, Lord, that you would grow it in leaps and bounds, Father, to be able to, both financially, Lord, to be able to provide for it, and with labors, Lord, who will help and support and encourage him through that. And I just thank you for him and bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back. Seth, I don't know where you're at. I can't see you. Are you in here? I don't know. Oh, he went to get coffee. You guys tell him if he would, I take a nap about 1 o'clock every afternoon. If he could come play his guitar while I'm napping, that would be great. Man, that guy can play. It just sounds wonderful. Hey, just give me one more second here and let me pray just a second. Father, I love you. I honor you. You are a worthy God. I stand before you today, Father. I need your help. I need your words to speak through me, and I know you will, like you always do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a great week being here. I got to see Vernon this week and talk to him. Oh, Vernon, bless your heart. He and I emailed back and forth around the world, and what a great guy. I also wanted to thank Pastor David and Karen. I know they're gone this morning, but David always lets me one Sunday out of every year come and share my heart for our work and for the poor and the orphan, and I wanted to thank him for that. He told me last time I spoke, he said, I heard you did a really good job, and I said, yeah, but I'm only good for one Sunday a year. I said, if it was two Sundays, they'd boo me off the stage. But we have some videos and some pictures I want to show you this morning of our work. I wanted to also thank a friend of mine this morning that's here. And I know there's so many of you to thank, but when we started our ministry many years ago, this man came in and he stood beside me. We had to get a board going with our 501c3 and so forth, and so he has given me direction, and he's helped me, and he supported me, and I just wanted to say personally to Todd Steiner for being so faithful to me over the years and helping me. He begged me not to say anything this morning, but I wanted to say that for Todd, and I thank him for that. If we can start out here, I wanted to share a story with you this morning really quickly. When I came to Alaska many, many years ago, I had a really good friend down in Colorado that had a church there in Fort Collins, Colorado. And it was a church of several thousand people. And then he had moved on and went to Denver, the suburbs of Denver, and he started a church down there. And because social media wasn't going at that time, we lost touch with each other. And so I left Homer here, and I moved down to Peru and started my life as a missionary helping the poor and the orphan. And we had been down there for several years at that time, I think a couple, 3 years maybe. And one day I told my team, I said, there's this friend of mine, his name is John Leach. And I said, I just can't get him out of my mind. I said, I don't know if something's wrong with his family, if I should tell him why I'm down here. I really don't understand why, but I can't think of anybody else. And about 2 weeks before then, a friend of mine in Lima, where I live at, asked me to go up in the Andes with her because she was working at a girls' orphanage up there and asked me if I'd go. And I tried to go, but I couldn't make it. Now, I want you to keep in mind before I complete this story that I live in a city of 11 million people. 11 million people in Lima. And she is one of my friends down there who is a translator for us. And she called me up. This was about 3 hours after I had told the group about this guy named John Leach. And she said, hey, Larry, how you doing? I said, hi, Patricia. I said, I'm sorry I didn't get to go up in the Andes. And I'll try to make it next time. She said, that's fine. She said, somebody here wants to talk to you. And he got on the phone. He said, is this Larry Good? And I said, yeah. And he said, from Homer, Alaska? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you know who this is? And I said, no, but the voice sounds really familiar. He said, Larry, this is John Leach. He said, what are you doing in Peru? And I said, well, I'm a missionary down here, John. I said, what are you doing in Peru? And he said, well, I came down. This friend of mine wanted me to come and see his work. So we met at the airport that night. And what it did, it opened up a new relationship with John and I. And John began to send groups of people down. He began to send his pastors down. I began to go to Colorado, was able to speak. It's opened up other churches in that area for me. And it's also opened me up a board of directors. And so we have a board of directors now with, these are businessmen that love God. Some of them have many big companies. One's a vice president of an oil company. And so what they have done is they have taken a burden off of my shoulders, raising money for us, doing things that was just impossible for me to do. And so they've really taken the reins for me outside of Peru and has been really begin helping me. And so I just wanted to tell you that what they're trying to do is with our finances, they're trying to get us so every dollar that we bring in, that 83% of it goes to the needy and 17% of it goes to help us and pay our ways. So once you get past that number, they can begin to get bigger donations and so forth. So we're really pleased with that. I just wanted to share that with you and let you know on the business side of it, how God has just surrounded me and surrounded our work down there. And I'm just so thankful for that. The next picture here, if I can show that. They also told me that I needed a mission statement and a vision. And I'm like, what for? And then this guy talked to me and he told me, said this, he talked to me for about 2 hours and told me what a mission and a vision can do for your life, what a mission statement. And so it's your compass. And so we spend thousands and thousands of dollars every month, and you sometimes wonder who you can help and who you should help and who you shouldn't help. Well, this allowed us a compass. So we can go back to this every time and know the direction that our hearts is that God has given us. This next picture here is of my two sons. Kevin's on the right, Pacho's on the left. Evelyn's in our ministry there. And my son Pacho, when we were here this time last year, my son Pacho he's 23 years old now, but he had cancer. Excuse me a second. We found out he had cancer. So right before we came last year, they went in and removed tumors out of him, but his numbers were still high. And so when we got here to Homer, a lot of people prayed for him from Eastgate to here and so forth. And when we got home, his numbers were normal. And they have been for 15 months since, and we check him every 2 months. So we're just thrilled for that. My son in the tan, his name is Pacho. And when he was a little boy, he used to live on his own. And when he was 5 years old, he moved away from his mother because she didn't want him. And he lived on his own until he was nine. And then he came to the orphanage, and that's where I found him and have raised him. And so obviously he had a life before I met him. And so every once in a while he just tells me a story, just out of the clear blue tells me a story. So he told me this really funny story the other day I want to tell you. He said that when he was a little boy that he used to be on the street corner and that he would raise or sell apples. And that's how he survived. And he had saved up his money, and there was this guy in this little town that they lived in that had a bicycle. And you could go over and rent the bicycle for 10 cents. And that would give you 1 hour to ride on the bicycle. And he said he went over there, and he'd saved up 20 soles, which is like $7 to you and I. And he reached in to pull that 20 out, and that guy saw that money, and his eyes got real big. And he said, "Why do you want to rent this bicycle from me?" He said, "Why don't you just buy it from me?" And my son goes, "For how much?" He said, "I'll take that 20 soles." And my son said, "Okay, okay." And he gave him the 20 soles, and he's riding the bicycle all day. He said, the next day, here came that guy with the police. And they walked up there, and the policeman said, "This guy says you stole his bicycle." He said, "Well, I didn't steal his bicycle. I gave him 20 soles." He said, "No, you didn't." And he said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Where's the receipt?" And he said, "Well, he didn't give me a receipt." And so they took the bicycle back. And my son said, "I was so mad." He said, "Every time I'd walk by his house, I'd pull down my britches and pee on his door." It's a great story. The next picture here. We missed something here. We have a video we want to show you. So it's a video about Hernan. There we go. And so this winter, my sister and my mother came down to Peru for 2 months. And we have an orphanage up way up in the Andes. And these children had never been to the beach before. They had never seen the ocean. And it was a 2-day journey for them in a van that was bought for them. And they came down, and we had a home for them. And so we spent the week with them on the beach, and every morning my sister and my mom would teach them Bible lessons. And my mom taught for, 16 years, I believe, Bible school. So it was a real pleasure for her to teach these children. So I want to set up this video real quick, but this is a video of the children we were working with, and then at that time, I would take these children off to the side, and I would let them tell me part of their story. So part of this video is about what we did when my mom and them were down and some of the children to see, but what we were working with some of these children. You'll get it here, so let's roll that video if we could.
Thank you. así de, gracias a ti, al hermano Larry, gracias a ustedes.
When I came to Azulguasi, the orphanage, I didn't know who God was. But thanks to Alcides, Larry, and all of you, I was able to know about the love of God. Time before, I didn't have any dreams or any aspiration.
Desde que conozco a Dios,
since he know God,
y sé, creo que con él puedes cumplir tus sueños.
But now I know and I'm sure that through God you can fulfill your dream.
No importa lo que hayas pasado.
It doesn't matter what you went through in your past.
Con Dios es todo es posible.
With God, everything is possible.
Y agradezco mucho que
and I deeply want to thank you for your love and support. To be honest with you, I didn't know that I deserve anything in life. But I know that you have a big heart, and I want to thank you for that. And may God richly bless you. Thank you very much.
Your life is my way. Come on, lift it up, all my hope. All my hope is in you. All my strength is in you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you.
Could put up the pictures of the shoes for me real quick when you're done there. So what had happened was a few years ago, the city of Cusco, which is a city high in the Andes, it's about 500,000 people, they called me because they knew the work we did. And they said, we have an orphanage that is 25 miles outside the city. It's out on a farm. And they asked us if we would be interested in help. And they said that it's ran by a man and woman of God, but they have no money. And would you be interested in going? And so to me, it was the mother load of all orphanages. I loved it because they were being taught a real biblical foundation in their lives. But when we got there that day, this is what the kids were wearing. And so I just wanted you to know what, kind of get an idea of what we were faced when we got there. And so these are the shoes that I took the first day that I got there. And so the next picture here, we have taken this orphanage, and what we've done with it is it's out in the country. So I thought, well, what's a better thing we could do is make it self-sustainable. And so what we went in and did is we built a big greenhouse for them where they could raise all their produce, and then the van over there, these kids were 5 miles from the nearest town, and so they would have to walk, I take that back, 2 miles to the nearest town, and they would have to walk each direction, back and forth, rain, whatever it was, and had no transportation, and somebody bought them that van. So we were able to give them the van, plus over there is a trout farm that we started for them. And so we just began to grow and to build them new kitchens and new dining rooms and new buildings and so forth. And the next picture here is, I love this, it's stretched out, sorry about that, but we were able to bring them in chickens and all sorts of animals so that not only when they're through with their eggs for the day, but the kids can walk into town and sell them. And so this is picture here is one of the boys is parakeet's name is Freddie, by the way. So the next picture here is a dorm room that we just got through building. We just finished it. We haven't put the windows and doors in yet. We hope to get it next week, but it will allow us to bring in 20 more children. Plus, we're getting ready to build another building for sexually abused girls. So the next picture here is we also work with street children. And believe it or not, in Lima alone, they think that there's over 1 million street kids. Now, you would go, well, why aren't they all in orphanages? Let me tell you, if you're in an orphanage, you're very fortunate there. So we go over, we have two places that we go to with these street kids. These kids here are literally living on the streets. That's their life. And so we have an old abandoned building there that has water in it that we're able to use. And so we'll go in there once a week, and we'll let the kids shower in this cold water and so forth, but it feels good to them. We'll feed them, and we'll take their dirty clothes and take them home, and then we'll bring them clean clothes the following week. And so we're able to minister to a group of young boys that basically live together. There's about 30 of them. And so sometimes they're not all there. A lot of these kids, they sniff glue. And so their lives are really, really terrible and messed up. And then we have another place that we work in that the kids that are off of the glue, we have another building that we go into there, and these kids are actually going to school. So our goal is to get them off of the street, off of the glue, and into these other buildings. The next picture here is we'll take them out of the city. And I just picked out this picture just to kind of give you an idea what the coastline looks like down there. It's the driest place on earth. You would think that's not, it's true, look it up. Northern Chile is the driest place on earth. And so the Andes rise up in Peru to 23,000 feet, drop straight off to the Amazon jungle. And then on the west side, the Pacific side, it's bone dry. It just never, ever rains. And so we'll take these kids out, load them in vans, and take them out for the day and just get them out of the city and do activities with them on the beach. So that also what we'll do, this isn't the vehicle, but the Beachies bought us a vehicle a few years ago. And that I can't even tell you how many hundreds of times we've loaded that thing with food. Moms. The dads are long gone. It's single moms. And the kids come into a Christian school that this woman built. And what they do is they'll try to prepare them a lunch. And so some of the kids are able to afford 30 cents a day. And then there's 160 kids and 50 of them have no 30 cents. And so we'll take the food over to this place once a week. And we'll leave it at the school where they can prepare meals for these children that can't afford 30 cents. The next picture here, the area that I was just speaking in, this is that area. This is poor, isn't it? Yesterday when Seth and I were looking at these pictures up on the screen, he goes, is that a home after a flood? And I said, no, it's not. It's just how they live. It looks like some devastation has come through. It has. It's called poverty. And that's how most of the world lives, believe it or not. But these are the places that we help. I'm going to show you a video in a second what we do to try to correct this problem. But this is where people live at. My niece took over our inn that we sold her over there. She has a beautiful inn here over on the water. And she was telling me that she had some customers last night that She has a beautiful place, by the way. And so the bed, she has two twins, and she bought brand new soft sheets for them. And the lady left her a note this morning complaining about how soft the sheets were. I'm not lying to you. When I hear that, I think of this every time. You don't want to hear what I have to say about that. So we'll go on. So the next picture, or the next one is a video of what we do to correct this problem.
C'è tempo, tenir de casta todo descubierto, ¿cierto? Tienen que comprar plástico para forrarle toda la vuelta. Hay con tarritos que le pueden para ir forrando toda la vuelta. Para que no entre los pies. Tengo bastante agradecida. ¿Dónde? Gracias, Giovanni. Gracias, van a hacer todas las palmitas. Por eso tenés el amor profundo a Giovanni. Porque él es el único padre que se preocupa por nosotros cuando nosotros venimos con el amor. Ellos, muchas gracias por todos ustedes, por su movimiento también. Todo lo que ha hecho, todo lo que hace por mí.
I love what she said there. She said, I have a deep love for God. In the middle of her poverty, this morning I was reading in James 2, it says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? The next picture here, after the video, let's go on to the next photo here, if we could. We also work in a cancer home. And we stopped calling it a cancer home. We started about a month ago, so I still say that, but we call it a healing center because we'll go in there. And this place is designed for about 150 people, and it's people that have zero money. And so they don't live in Lima. They live up in the Andes or in the jungle, and they have cancer. And it's everything from little guys like this, her name is Honey, to bigger children and bigger adults. And they're fighting for their lives. And they have no idea what to do, no place to go. There is a hospital there that does basic treatment. If you can get in, sometimes you'll go in and literally wait in line all day and they can't help you. So we go in there. We provide food at this place too. We'll go in once a week and we'll take big bags of potatoes, big bags of rice, and we go in and pray for these people and minister to these people. And so they're very, very dear to our heart. It's just one of the things we do. The one picture that's after this one here is not a very good picture. There's three stories above their dining room, and the third story is so cram-packed with, I had pictures of it, but I didn't think you could recognize it. It's so cram-packed with bunk beds that they literally have to crawl over three beds to get a space wide enough to walk into another space to go outside. And it's just full of sick people, sick, sick, dying people. And so we just go in there and minister to them and pray with them. And they're a real blessing in our life, as you might imagine. We work high up in the Andes. And this is another orphanage we support. This is an orphanage of 46 boys. And I see them 3 or 4 days out of the month, and every time I go in there, I get gang tackled by them, you know. They're my boys, and I love them dearly. I took this picture here because it kind of gives you an idea what the Andes are like. You can see a little dusting of snow up there. So we're at about 12,000 feet right there, and the snow line in the Andes is around 17,000 feet. So these kids live high up in the Andes. And I never knew it till recently, but the little girls have really red cheeks. And I always thought that that was because the sun is so intense down there. They have 6 months of wet and 6 months of dry. But it's not. The girls are designed different with their lungs, they found out, where they have more oxygen because of the high altitude. And so they have really red cherry faces, a lot of these kids do. And so a way of life down there. So the next picture here is, you can see the Andes here. This picture was taken last month. But believe it or not, the Andes will get magnificently beautiful green. As green as it is here, except they don't have the growth there. But for whatever reason it is, and I'm really not for sure why, it will rain for 6 months. And that rainy season begins in November and ends in May. And then it will just blue sky, that's it, for 6 months. And so that's when they'll take care of the harvest. So we have begun working in two of these communities over there also. And we'll show you a video of that here in just a second. But we'll take groups in there and help these communities with the harvest. I have one goal in mind. It's simple. These two communities, there are about 300 people in each community. I'm going to win them all to the Lord, every one of them. I know that's what God has directed me to do, and I'm excited to do it. So the next picture here, this is just what we do. They don't waste anything. So the corn has been plucked, and they'll take this back for their animals here. And so the next picture here is these 46 boys that you saw. I'm sorry the picture stretched out here. But once a year, maybe twice a year, we take them to a buffet. You can imagine. So when we go, when we went the first time, there's other guests there, and they literally, they had to close the restaurant down. There was no more food. And so when we book them now, they'll take us to a whole other side of the restaurant there with their own food for the children. And the reason, and there, I have another picture that's not in this, but see the little bowl of dessert that's next to the plates on the left there? One boy had 18 bowls, I counted it, 18 bowls of dessert that he ate. And this little boy, the reason I took this picture is when I took his picture, he looked up at me and he said, "Is this what heaven's going to be like someday?" So the next picture here, I think it might actually be a video. I'm going to, before you start the video, let me set it up just a second. We had a group, one of our groups come down last year, so this video is about 5 minutes long, last month, and it shows the two communities that we work in and kind of what we do when groups come down here. It'll give you an idea of how the people dress and how they look, and then after that, I just have a couple short words and we're done. So if you could click it on that, please.
Sometimes we're mad that we don't have enough.
I'm tired of chicken.
I want a new pair of sneakers.
I need a new t-shirt.
We just don't see what we have and how blessed we are.
Having a roof over our head.
A floor.
A car.
A job.
Someone.
We just want to see what we want to see.
Maybe you didn't have a good childhood.
I mean, not every parent is perfect.
But what if you didn't have any parents?
Would it have been a perfect childhood?
Or maybe you live somewhere where there's a lot of traffic.
And there are some bumps on the highway.
Or the public transportation is awful.
And the government doesn't do a good job.
But think about if you didn't have any of that.
Sometimes we get so overwhelmed that we don't realize some things or someone.
Just pray that more than blessing him, we would be able to receive something from him today, a legacy that he has building. So we pray for more blessings, more testimonies, more kids, and more than kids, we pray for a generation through the life of this man. In Jesus' name.
Asidus, I just believe that you're going to be like Father Abraham. Mm-hmm. You have many children. Too many to count, like the
six
the sand on the seashore.
De toda la descendencia.
Correct. So they can't be counted.
Maybe it's just, no puede ser contable porque son demasiados. Mm-hmm.
Such a huge blessing. Such a huge blessing.
That is Machu Picchu right there. So if you've never seen Machu Picchu, it's close to Bolivia and the southern part of Peru. And so we always end up our trips and we take a group to Machu Picchu and they spend the day down there. The last, there's one more picture after that right there. I want to just talk to you just for a second and then I'm going to wrap up here. Obviously the top verse is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It talks about the most important thing to God in his heart is the orphans and the poor. And I don't think I ever realized that until I started working with the orphans and the poor. But it goes on to say in James 2 that suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and you go to them and you wish them well, say keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished, accompanied by action, is dead. About 2 weeks ago, my son and I went over to this area that we were just showed you where it's very poor. And there was a lady over there, and she had a little 3-year-old girl, and she had 4 sticks, and her house was surrounded with plastic bags, and she had a beat up mattress on the floor, and that's where her and her little girl left. Now, I could have went to her and I could have said, well, I want you to be well blessed today. God be with you. You know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray for you. Or I could have did something about it. And I chose to do something about it. Because James talks about it. Faith and works, they go together. And one without the other is dead. Now, if you just have one, if you have works, it's religion. It means nothing. But if you have true faith, if your heart, like Vernon's, is so on fire for God and wants to do nothing but advance the kingdom, then guess what? Your wallet is God's. Everything you own, everything you have is God's. We're trying right now to, we have these kids that have been their whole life raised in an orphanage. We have a good system going right now with the orphanages. We're taking these kids and we're showing them how much God loves us. We're wanting to build an orphanage ourselves to take kids that are out of the orphanage and bring them into our lives for 3 years. And what we're trying to do is we want to take these kids and give them an education in life, but basically, in a nutshell, teach these kids what a mom and dad should have been teaching their whole life, how to get up and go to work, how to make a living, how to take care of money, and so forth and so on. And so, faith without works is dead. I could bless these kids and tell them, hit the door. Good luck with your life. I'll try to remember to pray for you, or we can do something about it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do something about it. And I think we're doing a really good job of that, to be quite honest with you. My family has sacrificed a great deal for me to allow me to live in a foreign world, a foreign country, to be able to help the poor and the orphan of the world. I thank you guys in this church. A lot of you supported me for many years now. And I just wanted to lay out my thanks to you and to remind you that faith and works go together. Whether it's out these doors or in Peru, the two of them go hand in hand. Seth, thank you. It's all yours. Thank you, guys. Lord bless you.
So we're going to close with a song. And as we do, I was just thinking about how great God's love is. But then I was thinking about how do I know God's love? And how have you known God's love? And I'm sure that many of you can imagine that person that talked to you about Christ. And even has shown you and invested in your life where they were willing to let go of themselves, to put themselves aside and to extend themselves beyond into your life. And that's how I think of the gospel and the love of God and how I've gotten to experience it. It was through his people. And Larry, you are a vessel of God's love. Your ministry is greater than you. It is a ministry and a vessel of God's love. And that is the great calling that we get to have, to be a part of the kingdom of God and advancing it. And I think, you know, man, I fail at it. But my King has not failed at extending the love of God. Jesus Christ was the love of God made flesh and came to dwell amongst us. And he's the one that we look to for the strength to do it. And we can't do it without him. So as we stand, we'll sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And you can turn and say, Jesus, save me, help me. Help me to show the love of God like you did. You gave up everything. Lord, we gain our lives when we lose them. Let's sing this together.
Until it was accomplished. boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. And why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. And why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Stuff, good stuff. Again, if you want to talk to Larry, he'll be in back after service. If you want to meet with him, talk with him. In the meantime, we'll have our prayer team up front. If there's anything you'd like prayer for that they'd be a blessing to you for, that'd be awesome. Father, I just thank you for your love for us, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've poured out your love upon us. We thank you for Larry and his ministry and pray that you would bless that, Lord, and teach all of us, Lord, how to better be vessels of your love, Lord. Not just in word, Lord, but in deed and in truth and in action, Father God, that your kingdom may be advanced on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you guys and keep you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His own.